I'm Steve McLeod, and you are listening to The Community Lounge, the podcast where community managers from the video games industry tell their story, talk about the challenges they face, and share tips to help other community managers do their job better.
Today, I'm joined by Hichem Talib. Hichem has worked in community roles on some big and well-known games, including LEGO Builder's Journey, Microsoft Flight Simulator, and Ghost Recon Wildlands. Hichem's most recent role is as community marketing manager at Light Brick Studio in Denmark. Now, when I heard about this role, I asked myself, what is a community marketing manager? And today we'll find that out. Welcome to the show, Hichem.
Hi, thank you for receiving me.
I have to ask, how badly did I say your name?
No, it's okay. It's even my name, I pronounce my name in a French way, but it's different, like in the Arabic way. So it's an international name.
Good.
Your pronunciation is good.
Shall we start with going into what a community marketing manager is? Because this really caught my eye. I've heard of community manager and I've heard of marketing manager, but a community marketing manager, what is this?
So the thing is, I was like hired as a community manager. So my first role was like to build a community for an indie game. But a lot of people that know, and some of the people don't know, but when you're working in an indie company, when you are like a small team, you're like the owner of all your tasks. So sometimes you have like a lot of different tasks to do you didn't expect, like for example managing like the sales of the game or handling like a deal with a third party, like for a free game of the day or free game of the week. And it's not really the role of the community manager, it's sometimes the role of a marketing manager or of a project marketing manager. So the community marketing manager is a title that I found and that thing like fit my role perfectly. It's like being this jack of all trade in a small studio, but you don't also want, you know, you don't want like to be like a master of none, because sometimes people say jack of all trade but master of none. So it's just like I'm doing a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it efficiently, but I'm mostly my role, like my focus are on community and marketing. I can do some other stuff. I did like some release management. I'm doing like also support for our player. So, but my main role is like community and marketing.
So what I'm hearing is your title reflects the reality of being a community manager at a small studio, in which really you have to do a whole lot of little things. Basically, if you're using Photoshop on a regular basis, you're probably doing more than just community management, right?
Photoshop, CapCut, Premiere. Yes, of course, like you have to create your asset. You have like you have to do everything from A to Z by yourself. You can ask for help. It's always important like to ask for help. It's something that maybe we will talk about that. Asking for help is a big part of working in an indie game studio, but it's also a big part of like just working in your field. Doesn't matter what you do, asking for help is always important. But yeah, I did like a lot of things by myself, and it was it's always very interesting just to learn.
Let's go back to the very beginning of your journey into being a community manager or community mm-hmm. marketing manager, as the case may be. How did it start? Was it something you always wanted to do as a kid, or tell me the journey?
So, as a kid, I wanted like to be a director.
A director?
I wanted
director.
Like to be Steven Spielberg. But yeah, it's like being a director is like a big job. Like you have to manage like a lot of people. Like David Fincher said, it's like painting, but with like 100 people holding like the pencil together. So
I want to just quickly interject to say that in season one of this podcast, I talked to Christian Jurgensen, and his journey was the other way around. He studied film. He was mm-hmm. a film director working on indie films and adverts, and then moved into community management. But maybe your dream one day is to do the reverse.
Maybe, I don't know. Like I said, I did some video on TikTok. So I don't know. Maybe from TikTok, I will end up like in the movie theater. I wanted like to work in video game. I wanted like to, I was a bit lost in my 20s because I didn't know what to do. And in France, I don't know in every country, but in France, you had like this big pressure, like, about it also, I think everywhere, but to find your path before even finishing high school. You have to know what you want to do, even
for
if
the
you're
rest
just
of
like,
your life.
Yeah,
theory.
And your puberty is not over. So you're like, yeah, I'm still like worrying about like my face, my hair, my smell. So, but I have to find a professional path right now. Ah, it's complicated. So, but one thing that I wanted to, that I was sure about is like, I wanted to work somewhere that I'm happy, that I like. Like, I like reading book, I like movie, I like video game. And I was very passionate about video game because it's, the good thing with video game is like, if you like reading, you play an RPG and you have like so many books to read, and like Oblivion, so many books, or Skyrim, there is so many stuff to read inside Disco Elysium. If you like movie, there is like famous actor in video game, but there is like also very good acting, very good dubbing. There is also very good story. So it's something that you like, and also very good direction in cinematic. If you like music, the same, like video game music are very good. We have no concept. So it's like video game was like the best field to touch on everything I like. And I was also like someone very social. I like to talk to people. I like to help people. I like also to fix stuff. I'm the one in the family that people call to fix the computer.
Oh, so good to know. Time, I'll call you if I have a problem.
Yes, computer, television, whatever, I'm always here. And this is how I start in video game. I did like a Erasmus experience in Romania for like 9 months. It was very cool. And I learned how to work with like people from different background, different language, different story, but in English to work together. It was like mostly a social project. So it was a non-profit organization. But when I came back, I was like, okay, I want to work like in an international industry with people, with creative people, with people from different background. And video game is this kind of industry.
100%. Yeah.
It's you have so many diverse people in video game that you can learn. Like, you can be in the studio and have a coffee with someone's making music, and you can talk about like music like during like this coffee break and have really good discussion. And after that, the day after, it's like about movie with the writer or books and or just video game. Also, just thinking about talking about video game all day, it's also cool. And so I start, I found a job at Ubisoft CRC in Newcastle. So the Ubisoft CRC is like the community relationship center. So this is where you can find like the community manager, but also like the customer support. And I didn't start in community management. I start as a customer support.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, and
that's like Ubisoft is a French company, right? Massively French. Yeah. I mean, French and a massive company, but you were working for them in Newcastle in England.
Yeah, and we were like taking care of the Europe, Middle East, South Asia, Oceania. But I was like taking care of the French-speaking player. And this is where I learned like just to manage a community, manage player expectation, but also like giving a hand to player on one-on-one. So it was like really like a huge experience because I will not ask everyone like to do customer support because it's sometimes it's a stressful job. And unfortunately, we have to be transparent. It's not a job that is valued, customer support. Doesn't matter the industry. It's not a job that is being valued. But it's the most important job. It's the point of contact between like a player and a brand where you can completely change the perception of the brand to someone's. Like if the experience with customer support is bad, it will hate the brand.
Yep, forever. Yeah.
Yes. But if the experience is like amazing, like Amazon or Lego have a really great experience with customer support, you will change this player into an ambassador efficiently. So this
that's
is
what
where
we
I
all want. All of we that. All want ambassadors, don't we?
Yeah. But you do it one by one, but sometimes it's really efficient. And the good thing at Ubisoft is like, the longer you stay and the better you can learn some new stuff because they are going to give you like more responsibility. So I started like to work as a point of contact for the live production team. So I will not say the term because the term are very different in every like company. But I was like a customer support point of contact for the live production team, reporting bug feedback. So my role expanded because I had like to chat with player having issue, but issue that we could fix in an update.
Mm-hmm.
So we needed like to work with the player, and it was really like something that I like, just asking the player, okay, your problem is serious, really, I'm not joking with you, and now we are going to work together. I cannot promise you that we are going to fix this issue, but together we can do something better. We can maybe like we can make the team aware of that, and maybe the team, if they have the bandwidth, if they can fix that, it's not going to be good just for you, it's going to be good for a lot of players. And I really like that because we involve the player in the process. Like for me, it's like the player was temporarily like a member of the dev team.
Right, right. That's wonderful.
Yeah, and so this is why I wanted like to expand there. And
so you're still at this point, we're still talking about Ubisoft, where you're still working
still
customer
Ubisoft,
support.
Yeah.
But your role is expanding to do more.
Yeah. Still Ubisoft, still a what we call a player experience specialist, a customer support agent. But yeah, my role expand. Like this is a good thing at Ubisoft. Like I said, like your role can expand over time. And you can learn like new things, you can learn like new skills. And it's something that I realized when I met like other people after. When you work at Ubisoft, a lot of people start at one position, but their role expand, they learn some new things. And also because everyone work at some point at Ubisoft, people know what you do.
Yeah.
They know your role because it's a big group, but there is like a good communication in Ubisoft. So people know what you did if you were in this studio or in this role.
Okay. So how did you move on from there to being officially in your job title, a community manager? Did that happen inside Ubisoft or did it involve moving on?
No, I moved also. I had another transition period. So I moved like at Asobo Studio on Microsoft Flight Simulator, where my boss there gave me the opportunity like to build a customer support service for a live game before the release. So it's the same at Asobo. We're a small team, but we were like a team like highly motivated team, and we wanted like to do our best for the player, even if I will be totally transparent here. I don't know anything about flying a plane. Flight Simulator was like this daddy game, like the game for when I was a kid, old people, and I don't understand.
For people with my color here, right? Not your color here.
Yes, almost here also.
Oh, you're getting there. Soon you'll be playing Flight Simulator.
Soon. But the good thing is like at Ubisoft with like their huge portfolio, I learned to be curious about different game. I know like, I need like to understand every game. I will not master every game, but I need to understand what is the appeal of like the Division, of like Hungry Shark, of like Rayman, of like Just Dance. And because of this experience, I did the same at Asobo, and I learned a lot about Flight Simulator community. I learned how to talk with them, how to listen to them, and how to work with them, like to be sure that they are involved in our work, in the development process. And I had the opportunity to do some tasks that go beyond community support, like publishing news on Steam, helping build like a better feedback and bug report system. And that's what I told you like before the podcast, that we were also very like impressed by Upvote.
Uh-huh.
So, but we did some kind of system. We didn't have like the bandwidth and the budget, like just to go directly like for a big change, because we wanted like to do something very small, but we were like really involved by the Upvote system. It was like simple and efficient, so it was a huge inspiration for us.
It's good to hear. I like that.
Oh yeah. It's
if anybody's listening to this and also thinks Feature Upvote is too expensive for you, it's not. Here's the secret. If you write to our very friendly support and you say it's too expensive, we make it work for you. Okay, advert over. Back to you.
It's a good advice that I learned, like on B2B business and on startup, is like every company like Upvote, they have like a proposition for you, especially for the small team. Like I know that a lot of small team now are starting like live game, and they are overwhelmed by the offer everywhere, the pricing, etc. Just contact directly. Send an email.
Exactly.
Explain your situation.
Exactly. We can't say it on our website that, hey, it's actually much cheaper if you ask us, because then all the big customers will expect to pay that little price. But all you have to do is ask with a B2B product. And at worst, they'll say no. But usually they'll do a deal. Maybe they give you a half price for the first year or something like that. You know, there's always something.
I think big customer is very good, but also like having this small case, like, oh, this case study, like if our product can work with this small team. So Upvote is interesting in that, like to give a hand like to small team, and maybe it's going to be useful for the big customer. So,
however, this podcast is not supposed to be about me or my product. So let's go back to you. So you're working on Microsoft Flight Simulator with all the gray-haired people. And from there, are you now officially a community manager?
So I had the opportunity to work at Librix Studio as a community manager. It was a small team. I think at the time there were like 15, 16 people. And they wanted like to build a community for their next project. They already have released Lego Builder Journey on Apple Arcade in December 2019. And they released also the game on PC, Nintendo Switch, and later on Xbox, and later after on PS5 and PS4. In June 21. So the thing is, like, the game was like a huge ray tracing vitrine for NVIDIA, but it was also like a nice 2-hour narrative puzzle game with Lego. It was like a new use of the Lego bricks, not like the classic TT game with the minifigure. So they wanted like to build a community of creative people around that. The big challenge was like when I arrived, I missed the momentum. Uh-huh. The game has already been released everywhere. Like, so I just have to wait for the next game. But the thing is also in video game is like the plan is not always working as expected. I was like maybe expecting a new game in 1 year, and it's not a bad thing. You always have to expect like the plan to change. It's also the good thing in video game, like plan change all the time. It's very flexible, very like organic. See, if there is a new idea, a better idea, the plan will change to try to integrate this idea. And so I had like to, so this is why I changed a bit my title, because when I arrived there, I had like a lot of challenge. Building a community after a momentum, trying to find new way to improve the sales of the game, improve like the awareness around the game, but also around the studio. And we were not a lot of things. Like I didn't have my budget was my salary. It's something that you learn in the indie industry. It's like the first marketing budget is your salary. So this is how you have like to think like, no, I don't have budget. Yes. Your time is your budget.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. And so I learned a lot. I had also like a lot of opportunity. Fortunately enough, when I start, we had like this deal with Epic. So we had the opportunity to push the game. I talk with Epic and the nice people at Epic, like they were really cool to work with, always like available. And we had the opportunity to push the game for Christmas in 1 day. So I can't share any number, of course, but because of this idea and pushing the game, like I start like my role with a big win. It was one of the biggest like downloaded game during like the 12th day of Christmas.
Okay.
During Epic Game Store. And even myself, I was like very surprised. People tell you that there is like no one using Epic Game Store.
There is not true.
There is million of people. There is like million of people using that. Yeah. And I was very surprised of the number. Like, but of course the game was free, but the thing is like it helped us. And this is where like my marketing role started, because I planned the free game of the day, but I was like the free game is going to be the vehicle for the sales on Steam and everywhere. and we had like a really great month. And after that, my role like expand to new things, like doing like some PR for the launch of the Apple Vision Pro version of the game.
Okay.
Pushing like the new ray tracing update on Xbox, pushing like the Steam Deck update, working with the tech lead at Lightbricks. So it was like a really, really interesting experience, like working in a small team where like you have like to, it's good to have ideas, but you have to be sure that you can like, this idea can become real, because having idea and just ideas is worthless.
Hey listeners, a short interruption. When I'm not hosting the Community Lounge, I run Feature Upvote, a platform for managing player feedback. When you use Feature Upvote, your players can submit and upvote suggestions to improve your game in a single place. This gives you the data you need to develop a game that meets player expectations. And you can say goodbye to the confusion of trying to keep up with feedback scattered across discussions on Discord and Steam and Reddit. Learn more at featureupvote.com. So Achim, you told me that you learn a lot on the job, that you really like learning and improving your skills. So tell me, where do you go? How do you learn to do your job better? What are the resources you've learned to use, or any tips you might have? How can community managers learn to do their job better in your experience?
So one of the things about me is like, I don't have a degree. So I start like with just myself. I like to read. I like to read a lot. Sometimes it's very annoying for my girlfriend, because I'm just like, I'm on my screen and she thinks that I'm like just like doom scrolling on TikTok, but I'm just reading like a 44-minute article about like sales of Nintendo game or some stuff like that. I'm just reading, but I like reading a lot. So one of the things that I did is like always following like the people that I found interesting. Even if it's like one article and this person wrote like one article 5 years ago, I will try to find this person on Blue Sky, for example, and just like, okay, follow and check the account. Oh, he has like this blog. Maybe I will like bookmark this blog. And just like, I had a lot of bookmark. I had like a lot everywhere. And one of the big things that really helped me was also like being part of a community on Discord, like the marketing video game community that you receive, like Gabriel.
Gabriel came onto the first season of the show. It's a private Discord group he created, or a private Discord server for people working in community roles, right?
Yeah.
I think it was like, it's available to everybody, but you need to apply to get onto it.
Yeah. It was very valuable. Just sometimes I interact with people, but mostly I was like reading and just checking like if someone already asked the same question as me. And people are, the good thing is like people are always willing to help. Mm-hmm. They are not like, oh yeah, no, try by yourself, you will see. No. It's like, oh, I did that and it was a mistake, so don't do that. Maybe like ask this and it will be better, because I tried to do it on my own and it was like a waste of time, waste of money. And in the end, the result wasn't good enough. It's just this kind of stuff, or maybe look there, or this is the right link. And I learned a lot just by asking.
Fantastic.
Just asking for help. Like a lot of people, sometimes they don't know, but they, like myself, sometimes I don't have like all the answer, but I'm like, I'm willing to take some time to learn also, because it's maybe going to be useful for me in the future, like learning to do that, like how to generate key in this platform, or how to publish asset on this platform, which format you use, which platform is better, like to create GIF.
We're not going to go into that battle.
Sorry. But just that, like, what is the most efficient format, size, resolution for GIF, like, for example? This is the kind of chat that I had, like, with people, and, okay, you use like that. Ah, yeah, it's maybe better. So next time, I will do it like this.
I've noticed that the community of community managers, it's kind of hidden. It cuts right across studios and even countries. And it's so supportive. I keep hearing again over and over what you're saying, that community managers want to help each other, even at different studios, different publishers.
Yeah, we are like, we know how it's, like I said, me, I'm doing like a lot of stuff. I'm like a jack of all trades. I know some people are like more specialized, like social media manager, community developer. But the thing is like, we don't really have like documentation. Like all the documentation we have are mostly on in the platform, so behind like a wall that you have like to be a user of the PlayStation platform or the Xbox platform. Steam at least is available for everyone, Epic Game Store also, but things are changing all the time, so it's really hard to catch up. And by sharing, like in this community, every time a platform is changing the rule, there is someone just to share, to say, hey guys, just so you know, there is a new rule.
Fantastic.
So it's like, it's hard to catch up for everyone, but if we are working together, if we are sharing our knowledge, sharing what we heard, it's easier for everyone. It's like just a virtuous circle.
Definitely. Now, you told me that you recently finished up at Lightbrick Studio just a month or two ago. Tell me what you're doing now.
So I was lucky enough at Lightbricks that they let me also like did some mentoring for a video game studio, like another video game studio in France. They hire like a community manager, a junior community manager. So they asked me to do like some mentoring from time to time. And I was really lucky that Lightbrick was okay with that. My boss was like, no problem. You can do that if it's not like messing with your schedule. So fun time. So in the past year, I was like doing mentoring for a junior community manager. It was really interesting because, like I said, sharing is very important, but also like explaining your knowledge. It's another task that is really good. Like if you have the opportunity just to teach people, just to explain. So this is why share your knowledge. Share your knowledge. It will help you like explaining what you do. And when you know how to explain what you do, you become better at your job because just like hearing yourself explaining what you do, you can also like improve the process. I realized that like just I do the thing like this, and in the end I was like, but maybe if I do in another way it will be better, or if I use the platform, because I'm doing this like all the time. And even like the junior community manager sometimes like give me advice. So maybe you should try to do that. And I learn by teaching. And I'm still doing like some consulting for a video game studio. I want like, I don't want like to stop my activity yet because I still have a lot to learn. But I want to do from time to time like consulting for solo dev.
Okay.
And I'm doing that right now for a solo dev and for small video game studio because unfortunately the market is wide. It's very hard like to exist. One of the things that I always tell people that ask me for advice is like, the only thing that you see is the winner.
Right. Selection bias, right?
Yes. But for everyone, you just go on Reddit and you have this guy like posting like, oh, I made like 50,000 wish list with $1,000. And you're like, yeah, he did it. But there's like 100,000 of people who tried to do the same.
That person is the extreme outlier.
Yeah.
And to make that your goal or your expectation is completely and utterly unrealistic. And even that person might not be able to replicate what they did.
Yeah, yeah. Like luck is a big part
of
the marketing and communication. So, but it's always hard because you can just see the winner everywhere. You see Balatro, you see
Stardew Valley, I think, has done so much harm to so many people's expectations of what they can achieve as one person working alone in their nights and weekends.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a good game and there's a lot of things to learn. There's a lot of things to learn from that. But mostly what I tell people is like, maybe you should learn from games that fail.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me more about that.
But there is a lot to learn from like when you are like doing like your game to market plan and you're like checking for like a game that are making the same thing in your market. Like if you're doing like a brawler game, you're going to look at all the brawler, but of course you're going like to look at Smash Bros. But don't look at Smash Bros. Like Smash Bros, it's Smash Bros. It's Nintendo. So first up, you're going to look at Brawlhalla. Brawlhalla is a good game to start. Like this should be like your top game, but it's also free to play with a big community. So keep this game in mind. And after that, you're going to look like to small game like you. And maybe you're going to tell yourself like, I'm not going to learn anything from them. There's a lot to learn about them. Even, and it's something that I realize that can happen. Send an email to the studio.
Okay.
Try to reach them. Ask them what they did. If they, for example, try to participate like in a showcase that cost like, I don't know, like $50,000 for 30 seconds, if it was worth it, this showcase. Maybe the truth is, I'm not trying like to spit like bad blood everywhere, but the truth is like some showcases are not worth it.
Yeah.
Like I learned that even in small community, I learned like in the French speaking community, I learned that some showcase that you paid in French, they weren't better than the free one, but you paid. And the free one, they were like just willing, like, oh, we accept everyone. Just come, just apply. And it was better to apply to the free one than the most expensive one.
Yeah. And it's by asking about people's experiences.
Yeah. You didn't know after making this mistake. We didn't know after making this mistake. I found it wasn't a mistake, but because we are learning. Trial and error. It's always the same process for everyone. But try to reach, like, because, and also one of the good things that I learned about that is like a lot of studios want to do cross promotion with you.
Okay. There so you promote like, their game and they promote your game.
Yeah, there is not like everyone wants, of course, everyone wants to succeed, but they also know that succeeding together is better.
Yeah.
If we have a lot of brawler, like, we are just working together, doing some cross promotion, maybe like some crossover, it works. Or just like bundle together. Like you like Brawler, you can buy our game and their game and you can get a better price.
Gotcha. Yes. That's great. Jim, we're running out of time and there's still one very important question I have to ask you. What game have you been playing lately?
Okay. So recently I fell into like, Health Defense Force.
So what type of game is that?
Yeah, it's like the Japanese Starship Trooper, and I think I'm going like to make some people angry about by saying that. But I also prefer to call that like Helldiver 2 for Steam Deck because it runs perfectly on Steam Deck. So I started like Health Defense Force 4.1 Shadow of the New Despair.
So this is very specific.
Yes, because it's not the same version as Air Defense Force 4.1. It's a different game. So, and I'm playing also like Air Defense Force 5. And it's just because of a video from Jacob Geller on YouTube. He was talking about Air Defense Force 6 and I was like, okay, I need to play this game. Just because it's a game that they say you're like a soldier, there is like Kaiju, giant hands trying to destroy the city, and you can play like big robots, you can like destroy everything, and it's crazy. It's a crazy game. It's a really funny game. It's like the essence of gaming.
Is it a game that you can use to kill half an hour, or is it a game that requires deep involvement?
You know, you never know, because there is like 5 minute mission, 20 minute mission. Okay. So always check. But yeah, it's also like this thing, like you have to choose mission. So there is like 100 mission in the game. Sometimes it's 5 minutes, sometimes it's 15 minutes, sometimes it's 20 minutes, but it's always good and you can play on repeat. And so the progression is a bit like hard because you have to play mission like all the time in different difficulty, but it's very good. It's just fun. And you can play like with your friends and it's very fun. It doesn't cost a lot. And I think it's just when you see the game, when you see a trailer and at the end you say, what is happening in this game? And yeah, there is a good story in this game, even if it's giant ant and giant spider and giant frogs with like machine gun.
Okay.
There is a story.
Okay. It's time to wrap up. Where can people get in touch with you?
So I'm mostly like on Blue Sky.
Okay.
I speak mostly in French. I post mostly in French.
But as people can tell, you are fluent in English.
Yes. I post mostly in French because, and also on LinkedIn, you can find on LinkedIn. I like to share everything that I read, like because it's my way of like remembering like what I read or what I have to read. So every time I see an article and information that I think is interesting enough, I will share it on LinkedIn and on Blue Sky. And I post a lot about like the industry.
In French.
Yep. Yeah, in French. But I'm maybe going like to do like French and English, because you said that you saw some of my posts and you didn't understand because it was like in French. It's just that there's like a lot of posts in English. So I was like, oh, let's try to be different.
Great. So I'll make sure those both are in the show notes, your profile on Blue Sky and your profile on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's it. That's all we have time for today. Isshin, thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you very much for your time. And I highly recommend to talk to you because it was very fun.
Bye, Isshin.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone. Thanks again for listening to this episode of The Community Lounge. If you enjoyed this episode, please spread the word and share it with friends and colleagues who you think would also enjoy it. You can find all the episodes on your favorite podcasting platform or at featureupvote.com/thecommunitylounge.